Welcome to Getting Dimensional. I'm your host, Carol Amaya Lefebvre. During storms in our lives, whether personal crisis, global pandemics, political upheavals, the ability to navigate with grace and resilience becomes paramount. In highly intense times, emotional intelligence can be a beacon of light, guiding us through turbulent waters and helping us weather storms of uncertainty and adversity. EQ, which is emotional intelligence, offers refreshing perspectives on what it means to live a fulfilling, meaningful life and how to communicate successfully and navigate through life, supporting ourselves and others, being able to connect authentically with the world and those around us. Today, we'll explore the transformative power of emotional intelligence in our daily lives and explore some practical strategies for implementing them. Help us all get a little bit emotional intelligence so that this world will be a better place. So let's dive in and get dimensional. Emotional intelligence is a huge skill set. It enables ourselves to manage our own emotions, to support those around us, and to communicate effectively. It involves perceiving emotional cues, harnessing empathy, managing stress, and maintaining healthy emotions and healthy relationships. At the heart of emotional intelligence, it's self-awareness. It's always about us and how we are acting and reacting to the world. So the ability to recognize and understand our own emotions, our thoughts, and our values are really, really important. This is what is going to give us clarity, insight, and be able to navigate through crisis. If you want to feel more empowered, learning to regulate your emotions in a healthy, constructive way is a great start. Being impulsive and reacting through fear and anxiety doesn't really serve us. I know it doesn't serve me. Whenever I have a bleep, I'll call it a bleep moment, where I just lose it and totally react out of not being clear and become impulsive or irrational, I get really negative feelings and beat myself up afterwards. And beating ourselves up after we have a big emotional breakdown is just as bad as having the emotional breakdown itself, because it really does affect our self-esteem and our self-worth. Frustration is one of the big things that happen. I can get really frustrated when I've had a meltdown with my inability to effectively navigate in a social situation and regulate my feelings. When people have poor emotional intelligence and react poorly, often we tend to isolate and disconnect ourselves from others because we feel like we failed. And again, that constant, oh my God, I could have did that better. And why didn't I do that? And why didn't I say that? And all the mind chatter that gets in the way. That repetitive mind chatter also starts to create a lot of guilt and shame. Acting without emotional intelligence can result in harming ourselves or others, and it certainly does a lot of damage to relationships. When we feel shameful or we feel guilty about what we said or did, it really makes us self-isolate even more. I find that stress can be a real factor in emotional well-being, and stress levels can affect different individuals differently. I mean, we all struggle to cope in challenging times, and we all cope differently. And when we throw ourselves into a tizzy, let's say, we can also get really angry and resentful. I'm talking about not just our own behavior, but others. Sometimes other people act out of anger and rage, and they lack emotional intelligence. And that leads to a lot of conflict and resentment within our own selves, because we sit there and try and figure out what the heck just happened and what did I do And then again, that whole self-blame thing comes up and it pulls up a lot of insecurity without the ability to understand and regulate our emotions or understand others. How can we improve our confidence and our self-esteem? I think we all want to have effective and amazing communication and interpersonal skills. So by tuning into and honoring ourselves, developing our social skills, connecting to deeper levels of ourselves and understanding who we are, what we need, and how to navigate that, it's all going to support us in becoming more emotionally intelligent. For some people who live in a constant state of stress, and I know several people who are like this, they really need to learn how to navigate, and being emotionally intelligent can play a crucial role in managing and maintaining their overall well-being. Practicing self-care, empathy, those things really help us. Understanding the importance of setting boundaries and prioritizing and maintaining our own emotional health is just a huge key to this. So if you're out in the world and you're stressful 24/7, really it's time for you to learn to set some boundaries, prioritize your self-care, reflect on your emotional health, and hopefully this podcast will help. Let's look at emotional intelligence as a path to personal growth and fulfillment, because really it is the ability to understand, manage, and express our emotions effectively. Let's explore some ways on how to do that, because our emotional body is crazy big and it does some funky things. It really depends on what we're going through and where we're at. And the ability to become the observer, to sort of stand beside ourselves and watch ourselves and navigate, is a huge component of emotional intelligence. Starting with self-reflection, self-awareness is a huge foundation of emotional intelligence. We need to start paying attention to our own emotions. We have to know how we feel, what makes us feel a certain way. Why are we feeling that? And a lot of that can also have to do with our aura type. I do encourage you to listen to the Human Design podcasts, because once you know your aura type, it does help you be able to understand a little bit about how your energy field works. And you'll be able to notice and feel different situations and understand and identify a little bit more about why you feel the way that you do. It allows you to pay attention to your strengths, your weaknesses in different areas of your life so that you can improve. Self-awareness and self-reflection are really important keys. Another thing that's very important, and I do this as a facilitator, I have to, it's what makes me a good facilitator, I guess, is to learn to pay attention to nonverbal clues. So what are nonverbal clues? Facial expressions, body language, and we really need to practice active listening so that we can show others that we care about how they feel. And we want to learn to follow their cues so that we know when we need to shift the conversation or ask a question. What are some nonverbal cues? Well, the typical one is crossed arms. So when I cross my arms, it's usually a defensive posture and I'm feeling somewhat closed off and resistant. When you're talking to somebody and all of a sudden they take that posture, it's a clue. It's a clue that what you're saying or how you're explaining something is making them feel defensive. It's important to be able to reflect on that, take a minute, breathe, and just ask yourself, how can I change this sentence, or how can I explain this differently so that this person I'm talking to is not as defensive? Another nonverbal clue could be avoiding eye contact. Sometimes when people avoid eye contact, it means that they're really uncomfortable. And sometimes it doesn't. I mean, we have to be really careful on this one because not everybody has straight eye contact all the time. If a person is more kinesthetic than visual, then they feel into what you're saying. Or if they are more audio, they'll kind of listen to what you're saying more than straight on look at you. So again, it's really about clarifying. Foot tapping, well, we know that that can indicate impatience or frustration. How do we move on from these things? I think it's really important for us to just sometimes just be quiet for a couple seconds and then simply ask the person, how are you feeling? What's going on with you right now? And get them to share their perspective. Maybe they won't share, but their body awareness and body clues will kind of let you know if they are comfortable sharing. They might still be in resistance. They might not feel comfortable sharing. You may have to ask another clarifying question. Or you might just say, is this topic making you feel uncomfortable? Because if it is, let's talk about that. I mean, we really have to pay attention to what the other person's doing without mind reading. Mind reading and developing empathy they kind of go together. Empathy is the ability to understand and share feelings or understand others' feelings. To enhance your empathy, it's really important to really listen without judgment or interruption. I mean, sometimes we get so excited about what the person's saying that we stop listening to them and we think about what we're going to say next. We miss a huge component of what they're trying to say by cutting them off and interrupting them, or by interrupting them because we've heard the same thing over and over and over and we just want it to stop. And so at that point, I think it's important for us to just say, we've repeated this conversation several times. Perhaps we need to look at it in a different way. Let's talk about mind reading, because mind reading is something I think all of us do at some point, and it is so dangerous because it involves projecting our own thoughts and feelings onto whatever we think the other person is saying. We assume that we know what the other person's thinking or feeling without actually communicating with them. And this can lead to huge misunderstandings and misinterpretations. Mind reading stresses relationships and it involves a lot of negative assumptions about what another person's intentions are. It can also lead to conflict, resentment, mistrust, sadness, irrational beliefs, getting all pissed off and angry for something that that person wasn't even thinking. Mind reading is so dangerous. I think sometimes I may drive some of my friends a little crazy because I'm a big clarification person and I don't want to mind read. If I feel something or I think something, then I ask, I just say, hey, what's going on? Are you feeling this way? Or I'm picking this up. Is that what's going on? Or am I just mind reading? Can you clarify this? With my ex, I used to always ask him a lot of questions. And he'd be like, why are you asking me so many questions? That's another thing about mind reading is some people who think that people are asking questions have ulterior motives. Sometimes we're just trying to get clarification. I just ask questions so that I understand. For me, it's a way of understanding what the person means on a deeper level. And sometimes it takes more than two or three questions because I just don't get it. And so I try to ask questions in different ways to clarify. And if you're uncomfortable doing this, you can just straight out tell the person, I'm really not clear about what you're saying. I feel like I'm misunderstanding something. Can we talk about this? Can I ask you a few questions to clarify? And just asking them if you can ask questions to clarify sometimes helps a lot. Not asking questions and just walking away upset is often disastrous because we go home, we get angry, resentful, and it just churns in the head and we think we knew what that person was thinking and saying. And quite often, a lot of the times, we are so off. It's just a big projection of our own crap. So please try not to mind read. Another thing that's really important is to practice emotional regulation. We need to learn to regulate and control and manage our emotions effectively. That doesn't mean that we stop them. It just means that we don't lose it. So learning to regulate ourselves is recognizing when we have triggers and developing coping strategies for those triggers. Instead of just blowing up at somebody, learning to do the 10-second breath, standing beside ourselves, looking at a situation, relaxing, calming down, and then engaging. I know it's easy to say, and sometimes in situations it's more challenging to do, but it is really important. We need to learn to express our emotions and our needs with the people who are closest to us in a way that allows us to be assertive, set our boundaries, and express ourselves honestly without hurting other people. Sometimes it's a good idea just to be honest and just tell your people, I'm practicing being assertive and setting boundaries. And sometimes when we first start to do this, it comes off a little harsh. Whenever we're learning something new, it can really come off a little harsh. So I like to let people know when I'm practicing a skill so that if it sounds weird or if I'm totally off, whatever, I want my friends' feedback. Don't be afraid to get your friends involved in supporting you in shifting and your personal growth. It's okay for you to ask them to support you in certain things that you're practicing in your own spiritual development or your own emotional development, mental development. There are people, there are tribe, they're there to support us and help us. And who knows, maybe by them helping us, they'll learn something too. So when you're learning to set boundaries and you're learning to express how you really feel, practice on your friends because it can really come out harsh at first and you don't want that to happen at work with coworkers or with some stranger on the street. So practice on your people, get your practice in, and then you become better and better at it. Let your friends know that you're open to constructive criticism because it's an opportunity for you to grow. And you'll learn from your mistakes. And your people probably are fairly empathetic and they know you and they know the best way to be able to give you constructive criticism, that you don't take it so personally. Improving our social skills is really essential for building and maintaining positive relationships, practicing effective communication, listening, looking at nonverbal clues. We've talked a little bit about that. Sometimes seeking out opportunities for collaboration and teamwork is a really good way of developing social skills. What can we do together? How can we create something together? What can we co-create and do and by working in a larger group rather than just one-on-one helps us to develop those social skills as well. One thing that I've learned to do that's really, really, really important with emotional intelligence is active listening. Really focusing and listening on what the other person is saying. And we talked about mind reading rather than assuming we know what they're thinking and feeling. Listening to what they're saying without jumping to conclusions and cutting them off or sharing what we want to share about that subject. Let them finish and enjoy the experience of really listening. When I was first learning active listening, I literally would put my hand over my mouth in a way that people couldn't tell, just so that I could practice active listening and be a very good active listener. I would sit there and I would root. So I drop an anchor from my root chakra into the ground. I would connect to my high self and I would listen to the person and try to hold space for them to really be able to share. And that's when you can really get good at clarifying and asking questions. It's a really good opportunity when you're practicing active listening to be able to ask questions and learn how to do open-ended questions. When somebody makes a statement, then a question is often a better response than telling them what to do or giving your opinion. Sometimes when we ask a question based on what they're sharing, it helps them go in deeper to what their experience is, and then it helps them begin to clarify things for themselves. So we become a really useful tool to that person's level of healing and understanding themselves. If you are in a leadership role, then practicing being empathetic and demonstrating understanding, compassion, and support for team members is crucial. If you are in any type of a management position, it's really important to encourage open communication and foster a culture of psychological safety so that your people can come to you and they can feel safe and your interactions will all be on a higher vibration. Implementing emotional intelligence into our lives isn't easy, but the rewards are immeasurable. Both developing greater self-awareness, empathy, resilience, they can help us navigate through life's challenges with grace, authenticity, and build deeper connections. I want to thank you for joining me on Getting Dimensional. I'm your host, Carol Amaya Lefebvre. Let's continue to explore the power of emotional intelligence and create a world where empathy, understanding, and connection thrive.